This is the Humboldt Chronicles.
I am the queen of everything. Gotta be high before I can sway. Light a TL and be. If you a viper.
I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. The Humboldt Chronicles is made possible by Humboldt Patient Resource Center, Eco Groovy Deals, the Humboldt County Collective, and Sonoma LabWorks. Thank you very much. We couldn't do it without you. That's just the truth. We could frame this hour as a tale of two cities, but that would be too simple, as it wouldn't account for some of the nuances below the surface here. Instead, this hour, we think, is better described as a tale of one neighborhood. For decades, as we all know, the area around Fortuna and Rio Dell thrived, as did the timber industry, with a large timber employer providing good jobs and good paychecks. But the decline of the timber industry changed all that. So now, in a new economy, these neighborly towns are making choices and setting directions for the future. For its part, Fortuna is, for now, saying no to commercial cannabis. Rio Dell, on the other hand, is jumping in. Almost 2 years ago, one of the first guests on this program predicted that Prop 64 would mean that opportunities in the cannabis industry would abound for the area around Rio Dell. So we have asked that prescient guest to come back to claim the title of prophet. So welcome back to Nick Angeloff of Archaeological Research and Supply. Nick, good to see you. And you are also on the Rio Dell Planning Commission, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Correct. Yep.
And you told us early on that the Rio Dell area would be ripe for cannabis industry development, and in fact, Rio Dell is moving in that direction. So, your thoughts on being right?
It was an easy prediction.
Why?
Simple as that. We're centrally located. We're at the 36th Junction, and we're right near Southern Humboldt. I call it the Northern Gateway to the Southern Redwoods. So we're just right in the middle of everything. So makes it very easy to establish businesses there. Transportation's good, on and off highway, et cetera.
Now, Fortuna, as you know, is saying no for now to commercial cannabis development, which is exactly how Prop 64 is supposed to work. So it's working the way it's supposed to. But your thoughts on how that leaves little competition for Rio Dell in that area?
Yeah, it does. There's virtually no competition for Rio Dell. Scotia itself has a set of CCNRs that precludes most of the cannabis activities, and then Fortuna has said no to it. So we have the county boundaries, and that sort of spreads a little bit with Fortuna's sphere of influence.
Yeah.
And then we have Rio Dell.
Yeah.
And that's really it between Eureka and Garberville.
I was just going to say, there's a skip there between Rio Dell and the Garberville Redway area.
Yep.
So there's a void there.
Exactly.
Rio Dell is jumping in.
Yep. And that's what we've done. And initially, we restricted it to over the river, across outside of town. It's still within the city limits, but the industrial area, and that got bought up and is starting to be developed. And now, with the new council, we've expanded a bit into the city limits itself.
We're going to get into all that. But before we get to Rio Dell's plans, let's check in with Fortuna. Recently, Larry spoke with Fortuna Mayor Sue Long. So let's start with what is allowed on the commercial cannabis front there.
Right now, every activity cannabis related is totally banned.
That restrictive approach in Fortuna, which, again, is allowed by Prop 64, certainly goes against the prevailing political winds and social currents in California.
So California overall is very, very liberal. Fortuna overall is very, very conservative. So we're like this little pocket in the midst of California who does things a little differently than a lot of the other cities in the state. So, you know, as an elected official, you work for the citizens in your jurisdiction, in your city. And Fortuna citizens don't want it. I mean, it's been very obvious from the beginning when people have come and talked to us, or we see in the grocery store or at the park or wherever we are in the city, most of them are thanking us for taking a stand because they, you know, they say, we know it's not easy to stand up to all these people who are really pushing it. We appreciate you standing strong and keeping what we want in Fortuna.
Mayor Long cites the cannabis cash issue as a major problem. Of course, the banking issue in the cannabis industry has and still is getting a lot of attention, and there's a lot of work being done on it.
Part of the problem, I think, is the cash issue. Any cannabis-related activity is not bankable, and people know they have cash. So just the crime around that, just the potential for, you know, big robberies and all of those kinds of things, I think, you know, our police department's not on board with it yet. They keep going to seminars and they keep going to conferences and things, and this is one of the huge issues that's always talked about, you know, what happens with those businesses who just, everybody knows they've got a lot of cash on hand. They can't take it to the bank. What are they doing with it? I think that's one of the biggest issues around the whole entire cannabis issue, wherever you are. You know, and people will come to me and say, cannabis is better for you than alcohol. And I said, I'm not going to argue that. But the alcohol stores can take their money to the bank every day. It's just a different culture and a different type of business right now. And until that changes, it just is a concern for the whole city, I think. Not just me, but the council, the police department, and other businesses even.
Mayor Long also says Fortuna is opposed to allowing cannabis delivery services to operate in the city, something that's the subject of continued and contentious debate among legislators in Sacramento and is also the subject of a lawsuit filed by the League of California Cities. Fortuna did not join but does support the lawsuit, which approaches the delivery issue from the local control standpoint.
So we didn't have to join the lawsuit. We try to stay away from lawsuits, but we would send a letter of support for that because of the local control issue. Prop 64 wording promised a lot of local control, and the state is slowly just taking that away, and they're mandating what can happen and what can't happen. And so the League of California Cities often takes stands against any kind of mandate or bill or whatever that is reducing local control, whether it's building, planning, deliveries for cannabis, whatever it is, because, you know, we should be able to control our own destinies in our own cities and not have the state telling us what we have to do. I don't know if it's so much the delivery itself that is the issue with the League of California Cities, or I think it's more the local control issue. We're letting Sacramento know, hey, you know, we still want to be in control of our own local jurisdictions. We don't want your help. We don't want you telling us what we can and can't do.
Of course, all of this begs the question as to whether there's concern in Fortuna about missing an economic opportunity, especially with neighbor Riodel opening its Humboldt Riodel Business Park aimed at attracting the commercial cannabis industry. Fortuna Mayor Sue Long says she hopes there will be area-wide benefits from Riodel's plans.
It's going to provide jobs still, you know, and we all, countywide, whenever jobs are provided, we benefit. People will come to town and spend their money. People will need housing. People will need all of those things, you know, groceries and gas and all of those things. And so there will still be somewhat of a benefit. Will we get the tax dollars from the actual sell of the cannabis product? No. But will we get tax dollars from people spending their wages? Yes. So it's kind of a unique situation for Riodel, though. They have that piece of property that doesn't butt up to neighborhoods. It's kind of its own isolated little island out there, and it lends itself to being some kind of an industrial park like that. I think that most everything is indoor. I don't know that there's going to be outdoor cultivation, so that right there should cut down on odor and lighting and all of those kinds of things, but they just have a unique piece of property down there that we don't have here.
The fact that Fortuna has chosen to opt out of the commercial cannabis industry is well known to the general public and well known in the cannabis industry. It's not like Fortuna has to put up a big sign at the city limits announcing this. Still, we wondered if anybody had proposed locating a commercial cannabis business in Fortuna. Here again is Fortuna Mayor Sue Long.
Not that I know of, but they would have probably have gone straight to City Hall, and I probably would have heard about it just because that's, you know, we interact really well with our staff. But just knowing, it's pretty common knowledge that there's a ban on cannabis in Fortuna, so people know pretty much, you know, anybody who's been here or is part of our community know what's happening in all the communities. If someone from out of town came in, they might not know, but, you know, that the growers group is pretty tight-knit, and they talk to each other as well, and so they know without even approaching us that it's not happening right now.
To be clear, and to Fortuna's credit, the city wants to continue to monitor the community pulse on this issue in case public sentiment changes. The idea is to keep talking, and that's a good thing.
We are planning on having a community meeting sometime in May. We do want to go back and have a community workshop, and we want to have people from both sides of the issue attend, and so that people who are adamant against it can see why the people who are promoting it want to do business in the city and what they want to do and how that would look, and you know, maybe how many jobs it would provide, what the environmental impact would be. Would there be smell? Would there be odor? Would there be all of those things that we don't? Would there be traffic? And if not, if we can make some kind of extraction or manufacturing or something like that work in the city, do we look at that again? Do we go back and change our ordinance? And do we try to find some property and zone it accordingly? You know, cities don't own property. We have the old mill site, but Town of Scotia owns that, and they're not doing anything with it other than trying to sell it. So does the buyer that may come in soon or not soon, you know, do they want to have this kind of activity on their property? You know, we can't make people do it, but we could open it up so that it was viable, it was an option. But where in the city would we put something like that? And, you know, that'd be a whole nother discussion. But just getting people to interact, people from both sides to interact in a respectful community meeting where you can hear both sides, and you know, there's no yelling and shouting and and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to that, actually, to see if people have changed their mind, to see who would be willing to come into Fortuna and what they would want to do. You know, what would it look like? We're always open to what our citizens want. We have to be. That's why we're here.
Again, that was Fortuna Mayor Sue Long. Nick, your reaction to that?
We're on the same page. A lot of what Mayor Long said is I just have to agree with 100%. Mm-hmm. One of the issues that is we had in Riadel prior to Prop 64 was the smell nuisance. Mm-hmm. We had a hard time dealing with that. Everybody was cultivating in their backyard, and with Prop 64, we had the opportunity to regulate that, and we had tried in the past, but when we opened up the Riadel Humboldt Business Park, we were able to pass the ordinance saying that it was restricted. People are allowed to do six plants, but we had already addressed the smell issue with it's got to be inside, it's got to be in a pertinent building that has fans and odor control, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But that was sympathetic, really, with the business park across the river. Mm-hmm. So these issues we had dealt with for years are now gone. Middle of summer, you come into Riadel, you used to smell, all you could smell was pot.
It was already there.
Now, you don't smell that anymore.
So,
we've curbed it.
Regulate and tax instead of ban completely. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, we are a very conservative community as well. But Fortuna is 3 to 4 times our size.
Right.
Our tax base is nothing compared to what Fortuna's is.
And this could change that.
And this has started to change
already?
That. Yeah, we're seeing some taxes trickle in. But yeah, we have to take the opportunity where it exists.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This was an opportunity, still is, and we're moving forward with it. Well, we made our choice.
Let's go now to Riadel, where folks there did notice their larger neighbor opting out and recognized an opportunity to fill a void. They realized that if done right, seizing this opportunity could help revitalize the town following years of economic decline. Recently, Larry and I went to Riadel and spoke about this with Mayor Deborah Garnes.
Historically, Riadel, you know, is a town that had over 1,000 jobs just to the south of us, 500 jobs to the north of us, which fed into the city's economic well-being. We had gas stations, we had entertainment venues, we had a bowling alley, we had stores, and now all that's gone. Various reasons, from the highway bypass to the loss of the timber industry. So when those things happened, it's almost like we became a forgotten city. We were bypassed by the highway, and we were bypassed by a lot of people, too.
Mayor Garnes and others in Riadel saw Prop 64 as a pathway toward a proactive solution to a stagnant economy and progress for a town with a lot of needs.
This is the first time that we've had this kind of interest in a long time, probably pre incorporation, post-World War II, is the last time that there was this kind of investment or excitement or enthusiasm about our potential, our economic potential. We had to start thinking outside of the box because all the other cities up here have an identity, and we really don't. We have history, and depending on who's telling that history, it could be good or bad. So we had to start thinking outside the box, recognizing that if we want to improve our economy, which then will allow us to fix infrastructure, things that we can't just do because we don't have the resources, that we had to really get bold and look at the opportunities that were put in front of us. It isn't as if marijuana wasn't in this community to begin with. So we felt that we could take advantage of the new laws. And it would be a win for the people who want to go to the legal side, and it would be a win for the city and for the community because we would be able to start improving our town. We have three parcels right now over north of the bridge on the old Ill River sawmill site, and that's really where, in the moment, most of the activity is. So there are businesses there that will be doing cultivation, extraction, distribution. Probably there's going to be a health spa where you can go in and get treatments and use the medical side. And so that's what's being built out right now, those kind of facilities. And then there can be also dispensaries in the Humboldt Riedel Business Park.
Nick, Mayor Garns there, as you just heard, mentions the medical side of all this, which has been one of your recommendations for economic development around Prop 64 since the get-go. Yep. And you're on the Riedel Planning Commission, so I'm interested in your comments on that.
With regard to the medical, I think that it absolutely is still the market people want to be in. We in Riedel have required that business holds a medical license. They may hold only a medical license, but if they hold an adult use license, they must have a medical license as well. We did that intentionally to put emphasis on the medical side of the market. Mm-hmm. If you look at the larger national markets, we have potential here very quickly, I think, for medical marijuana to be legalized nationally.
Right.
We have over 30 states now, I believe, in D.C.
We hear that it's almost inevitable.
Yeah. And I think it'll happen before the next election.
You do?
Yeah. I think this is going to be an election issue. And one of the parties will try to grab this and pass this to garner a percentage of the vote.
Make that their lane.
Absolutely. And what that does for us is it provides an avenue for Humboldt products to reach New York, D.C., right. Chicago, Houston. But not only that, it also can now reach 22 EU countries where medical marijuana is legal.
Globally.
At that point, Humboldt County, with its brand name, which is known globally, no doubt about it, will never be able to supply what the demand that will be created from legalization and export laws for medical marijuana.
Right.
So I'm still pushing in that direction. There's a group that's coming out, and they're treating children with and adults, but they're treating children with CBD, and they want to establish a health and wellness center here. That's one of the big projects. But almost every business in the Humboldt Riedel Business Park has some arm of a focus on medical.
What you're going to hear next, given our current political climate, I think is a breath of fresh air. You're going to hear the word compromise. Do you remember that word?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
your
that from
vague
maybe
memory.
Maybe from your history classes,
exactly.
Or maybe from stories that your great 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 grandparents might have told. Here's what happened. Discussions in Riedel about welcoming the commercial cannabis industry uncovered the fact that the town was not unanimous about moving in this direction, but they worked on a plan at public meetings and eventually found enough buy-in that Riedel could at least explore a
much-needed opportunity. Here again is Mayor Deborah Garns.
In 2015, when the cannabis law started changing, then I thought, well, we should look at this because it's here already. It's not like we're going to destroy a town by bringing something that doesn't exist. And so I really pushed the council to look at it, and to their credit, they did look at it. We had many, many public hearings and a lot of back and forth between the council. We weren't all on the same page, but we were trying to get on the same page. And so we finally came to a grand compromise, and that was we would go north of the town proper to the old Eel River sawmill site. And that's where we would allow development for the cannabis industry. And that started, and we named it Humboldt Riedel Business Park, and investors started showing up and wanting to be a part of it. One of the problems was we had a wide ability to change the taxes, which really made investors uncomfortable because to do their business plans, they needed something more stable. And so this year, after the last election, one of our council members, Julie Woodall, wanted to bring it back and look at it again, the tax structure, the land use structure. And as a council, we thought that was a good idea. And so we did that. In January, we asked staff to look at this, look at the tax structure, look at the land use structure, bring something to us that could work for the community, that wouldn't damage the community, but that would give us a greater chance at success. And so they brought back a new tax scheme, a new land use, and it came before us, and then we had a second reading, and it passed on the 19th. I think it's the 19th of March. The changes are we stabilize the tax so that it's at 2% versus between 2 and 10. And there was a between $2 and $5 for cultivation that we capped that at $2. And then we changed our land use so that there could be not necessarily three, but no more than three dispensaries in the town center, which is down at the south end of town. We could have dispensaries, testing laboratories. We have made it so that they have to go through a series of things before they can open their doors so that Planning Commission, the council, and the city staff can make sure that it's done properly, that it looks good, that we are following all the rules and regs. But at the same time, we are giving the city of Riedel the opportunity to take something that's here and actually use it to help the town.
We are just getting started. Nick Angeloff is staying with us. Up next, we're going to get into some of the detail on what Riedel plans to do with a view of the future, considering economics and infrastructure and politics and culture. You're listening to the Humboldt Chronicles. As we go to break, a cultivator minute with Luke Corey of Sonoma LabWorks.
It's now time for the Cultivator Minute, sponsored by Sonoma LabWorks. In this month's Cultivator Minute, Luke Corey, senior scientist at Sonoma LabWorks, talks about the harmful pesticide chlordane, how to detect it in the environment, and what farmers can do to protect their crops.
Chlordane is a notorious pesticide originally used in the environment to treat homes, crops, and power lines. Synthesized in 1948, it was widely used for four decades until it was banned for crops in the U.S. due to its high toxicity. Still lingering in the world today, trace levels of chlordane pervade nearly every corner of our environment, and even our bodies. Studies have shown that it remains in soil for longer than 20 years after it was first sprayed. These persistent effects are now being detected by cannabis testing labs. It is important to note that the original ban was only for crops. The chemical is still used today to coat underground power lines. Nearby properties may have detectable amounts of the pesticide. Chlordane can also be distributed in the environment by infected pests or landscape renovation. In support of farmers, labs are assisting in identifying sources of potential contamination. By working together, operators can evaluate these and create protocols to protect their cannabis products. Proactive solutions include testing soil and irrigation water and monitoring certificates of analysis from soil providers. You can learn more about chlordane on our blog at sonomalabworks.com.
That was Luke Corey, senior scientist at Sonoma LabWorks.
Welcome back to the Humboldt Chronicles. In the first part of our discussion, we outlined decisions made by Fortuna and Rio Dell regarding the cannabis industry. With us here in the studio is Nick Angeloff of Archaeological Research and Supply, who's been following this now for years. And Nick, we're hearing about the details of Rio Dell's plans. First, though, they're creating a business park. Is that right?
Yeah.
At the edge of town.
Yep, across the river. On the north side of the river, we incorporated the old sawmill property, and it's now coined Humboldt Rio Dell Business Park.
Have you seen this work in other places? Because you work all over the state.
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, it works well, repurposing the industrial properties, especially with the downturn in the timber industry here. But Arcata's done the same thing. McKinleyville is their own business parks, not necessarily cannabis, but down south, there's plenty of them. There's dedicated areas for cultivation, indoor cultivation in San Jose, warehouse space and dispensary space.
But in a place
space.
Like San Jose, that gets me to another question. A smaller town like Rio Dell, there would be some advantages in that maybe the process of getting up and running is much quicker. Is that right or wrong? I don't know.
No, that's absolutely right. Where our staff can process a permit within months.
Months?
Yes. It's
You've probably heard
months
the horror stories.
Is long term. Right. Yeah, it's relative to the county and other places. We're very, very efficient. So it's easy. We only have a limited number of properties to permit.
Yeah.
So
right.
it's a scarce resource now, and the property values are showing it.
They are
in the industrial park. Yes.
When developing their game plan, as we noted earlier, Rio Dell was well aware that its more populous neighbor, Fortuna, was opting out of the cannabis business. Question that we asked Mayor Garns, did that really have an impact on Rio Dell's decision? And if so, how much? Surely Rio Dell saw this, right?
That was taken into consideration because you look and you jump to Eureka, and then you come down here, there's nothing, and then you have to jump to Garberville. We did look at that vacuum and the fact that if we got onto it right now, we would have that opportunity to draw from southern Humboldt. We're close to Red Crest and Wyatt, you know, that now you're going to split the difference. And then we can pull from Fortuna, Ferndale, Carlotta, Hydesville. Oh. Exactly. And that's, I think, one of the good things about the old Eel River sawmill site. When it's built out, people are going to see that, you know, it's going to look good. You're going to see buildings, you're going to see business, and it's going to give you an entirely different view of Rio Dell. And like I said, we'll become known for something rather than just historically that was the place that.
Again, this is exactly how Prop 64 is supposed to work. Communities making decisions about the cannabis industry independent of one another, taking into account everything from economics to infrastructure, from politics to, importantly, local cultural concerns. Here again, Rio Dell Mayor Deborah Garns.
I think there probably was some of that, absolutely. And that's not something that you can just change. You can't change someone's mind when it's really a deeply held belief that this is wrong or detrimental or evil, or because all of those things were said. It got really emotional. It was a very emotional time. And you aren't going to be able to switch that belief. And so pretty much you're going to have to take a risk. And the one thing that I believe about being in a position like the city council is that you've got to have a tough skin and you've got to have a backbone. You've got to be able to do things that not necessarily everyone agrees with. When you're trying to improve something, if you're afraid to take a risk, if you're afraid to take any chances until you watch someone else do it for 5 years, then first of all, you've already missed your opportunity because it's already done. And second, that you aren't going to be able to ever grow, to ever improve things, because you're always sitting here afraid and waiting for someone else to do it first. Sometimes you have to take the lead. If you want to win the race, you have to take the lead. So I believe taking the lead right out of the gate, doing it right, I think you can win. I think you can accomplish something good.
Nick, you were a part of those meetings and discussions. Your comments on what the mayor said.
No, she's absolutely, again, right. It was if there's one thing that's common between Riedel and Fortuna, mm-hmm. it's a fierce independence. And yeah. so there was political views and ethical views, I suppose, on both sides of the aisle. And it was a healthy argument in Riedel.
It was. Think it was healthy
absolutely.
And didn't create another divide?
No. In the end, people still hold their same opinions, mm-hmm. as Mayor Garn said. But we got the reality out to the public.
Does the fact that it's going to be in that business park that you're not going to see right there in the middle of town help?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. That was the compromise, right?
Yeah.
The compromise was, okay, let's keep it across the river. There's a new council now, and it's changed now, where we have opportunities for dispensaries three through an RFP process actually coming due on, I believe, May 9th. Mm-hmm. It's open right now, and then we have distribution and testing and cultivation in the rural areas of mm-hmm. on the city proper side of the river to the south as well.
But
now.
It helped to construct a compromise like that.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. It helped to construct that compromise. It would never have gone through without compromise.
That.
Yeah, we'd still be arguing about it.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant idea.
The goal in the broadest sense, of course, is economic stability. Mm-hmm. Specifically, though, the mayor talked with us recently about things that the city needs to be able to do to remain viable and to attract new residents and businesses.
To be financially stable and to be able to fix things without taxing the citizens. You know, water rates don't have to keep increasing. Or we had done a measure trying to get revenue to do the roads, and it got voted down. This was two cycles ago, because we can only afford so much as a community. I mean, this is not a rich community. So if we can find a way to help fix the things we need to fix and not have to ask the citizens to fix them, then I think that's best for everyone.
A question we often ask on this program is this: what if all this works? If Riedel's plan for the cannabis industry does, in fact, ripen into something successful, it's reasonable to assume a ripple effect, that is, benefits to the town generally, not just those in the cannabis industry. Your best guess on that, Nick?
Yeah, that will happen.
Seems self-evident.
Yeah, as we grow and as the industry grows in general across the nation, and as I said, when medical mm-hmm. is legalized federally, we're going to see, just like we saw with the timber industry, we'll see the gas stations popping up, we'll see the banks mm-hmm. popping back up in town, the car washes, we have plenty of restaurants, and we've got great coffee right now, but all these will come back. The one concern that I have is a diversification of economy.
Right.
We look at what happened with the timber industry in a small town like Riedel being reliant on a single industry. And we are looking at now, we're looking into the future of how do we diversify our economy in general. What else can we bring to town beyond cannabis? Mm-hmm. Not that we're losing a focus on cannabis. We're laser focused, but.
Well, let's go back to Riedel Mayor Deborah Garns on that.
For an idea of the benefit to the city, there was no water line out there, and they're putting in a water line for all of the businesses, and that's a part of the buy-in to the property out there. But that's something that the city could never afford to do.
It's infrastructure.
It's infrastructure, and it's to code infrastructure. You know, it's done the way it's supposed to be done. And so already that's a boon to the city that now there's actual infrastructure out there. So even if those companies were to go away, now there's something for someone to come in and say, look, I can use that building for something else. And the infrastructure will be there. There will be employment there, too. It's not just going to be a building going up, and then that's all it's going to be. There will be jobs. I'm not sure exactly the number of jobs, but I hope it would be somewhere between at least 50 and 100. But I don't know that to be a fact, because it's not fleshed out over there yet. So I'm really hopeful that people will move here and buy property here, which would also be a real boon to the city. So, again, you know, I just really feel like if we do it the right way, this really can benefit in all areas of the city. If from this business we can draw people, the people will not just come for that, because when you come here to go to the dispensary, why don't you go to get a burger, or why don't you go have a pizza, you know, buy a cup of coffee. And that is really the bigger hope. That's actually my biggest hope, is that from that, the fallout would be positive, and it would fall out to the other businesses. And that's what I'm hoping happens. Absolutely.
Nick, growth beyond the cannabis industry, but sparked by the cannabis industry.
Correct.
Realistic, probably will happen. But as you mentioned, diversity of an economy is important no matter where you are or what size the town is. So
absolutely.
What are some of the ideas?
There's opportunities all over the place. I mean, look at Tesla's growing like crazy. We have an empty mill over in Scotia. It might not be directly associated with Rio Del, but as long as we have manufacturing happening in Scotia, we have jobs for Rio Del residents.
Right.
Potato chip factories, the rotational molding company for water storage. Yeah, that's ancillary to the cannabis industry, but there's all sorts of opportunities. Opportunity out there.
You've been thinking about this.
Oh,
Tesla
yeah.
to potato chips?
Yeah, I actually spoke with Tesla years ago. Tried to bring a tribe in the town into this, and
so the point is that Rio Del is aware of this. You don't want to have all your eggs in one basket, like the timber industry was.
Absolutely, and that was last night at the city council meeting. That was made an economic priority of the city. We want to look at all economic development and keep our focus on cannabis, but look at all economic development and not pass up opportunities. Right now, one of the things that was happening, if I may, is the warehouse space in the Bay Area and Sacramento has skyrocketed because it's been zoned for cannabis production.
Right.
The tech companies down there are now being actually priced out of the
tech
warehouse
companies?
Space. Yes. And so they're starting to look up north at warehouse space, at shipping opportunities, et cetera, et cetera.
We're making some news here.
I'll make a prediction now.
Okay,
we're
going
to end up expanding it. The tech industry will end up expanding north as long as the cannabis industry remains strong in California.
Well, you were right about medical cannabis, so maybe we'll have you back in another year when some tech company moves up here.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think the trigger will be
you think
federal
that's realistic?
Legalization of medical.
Yeah. You think that's realistic?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they've been poking around already, so.
More news you're making, Nick.
Yeah.
We want to talk about that.
Yeah.
We are nowhere near done. On the way, a discussion about towns like Rio Del succeeding with their plans rather than being known as a town that was this close. We'll get to that when we come back in just a moment. You're listening to the Humboldt Chronicles. If you're just joining us this hour, we're talking about plucky Rio Del, a town that's going for it and moving in the direction of attracting the legal commercial cannabis industry to the town. As mentioned earlier, Rio Del has noticed that the larger neighbor, Fortuna, has decided to go in the opposite direction, disallowing commercial cannabis businesses in the city limits. Rio Del is moving into that void. It's certainly a needed opportunity for Rio Del, hit hard by the decline in the timber industry. Here's Rio Del Mayor Deborah Garnes.
There has been, to my knowledge, nothing put forward that would create this type of opportunity.
So then, without any other alternatives, and as you said, doing this the right way, why not try it?
And I think that's where the council finally came to, overall. I guess not everyone, like I said, but I think overall, that is actually what we came to, is that the opportunity's there. And there's been times when I've thought of Rio Del and things that have come up and gotten bypassed for whatever reason, and I always thought our slogan should be Rio Del, we were this close. And I'm really hoping that we got on board this particular opportunity soon enough that we can actually get something positive for this community, because this community has been one of the harder hit communities over the last three decades, and the city doesn't have a lot of land, so we can't build things and they will come. We have to hope private industry comes and builds things. And this was one of those opportunities where not only can industry come in, there's an enthusiasm for it, and it's a part of our community. So we're not even going outside and bringing in a big box store or something that this community is against. We are actually taking something that is an integral part of this community and allowing it to come to the legal side, benefit the investor, benefit the town, and hopefully it would then benefit the whole county. Because back in the day, when Palco was there and Riodel was a booming town, we counted. After things went away, Riodel just became this forgotten place. And so I'm hoping, really hoping, that this will allow us to come back into the forefront of Humboldt County, to be a part of it, to be a strong voice in it, to have some influence in the county again. And I think, like I said, if we do it properly and we make sure that the people who are investing do it properly, then I think we can.
Nick Angeloff is here in the studio with us. Nick, the mayor's noticing that towns like Riodel sometimes are this close in a competitive business development atmosphere. Not just here either. That's true just about everywhere with all kinds of industries nationwide. It's a familiar story. Do you agree with her that with no other viable alternatives, why not give this a go?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're already giving it a go, and we've expanded. So, yeah, it's not so much throwing spaghetti at the wall. Like I said, we're very judicious about how we approach this. And initially, we had very heated discussions. Mm-hmm. And there's, again, I think the votes allowing cannabis across the river were highly representative of our community. It was just that close within our community whether or not we wanted to see this industry go in. Mm-hmm. There are the people that were very upset that we weren't allowing it all throughout town. There are people who were very upset that we allowed it over at the riverside. Yeah. But the majority of the people said, this is a good compromise over on the industrial park.
Do you think at some point most of the town will see this as an economic issue and not a culture war issue?
Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're pretty close to being over with the culture war issue.
You do?
Because
if you can cross that bar, then you can really move forward economically.
Yeah, and I think the key to that, again, is medical. Yeah. We'd like to make Riodel the medical research center of the universe, if you will. And I think, wouldn't that be neat to see Riodel as an economic driver for Humboldt County?
Of course. The whole county would benefit.
Exactly. And like Sue said, or like Mayor Long said, they're going to benefit from the jobs that are created in our business park. Mm-hmm. If we can grow that, the culture war will be over one day when we realize that this medicine, that the medicinal aspect of marijuana has huge benefits. And, bringing kids in with autism and with epilepsy, and giving them a home to be treated in, and having a wellness center, having a research center, bringing in scientists from Israel who are way ahead of us. Mm-hmm. These are the opportunities that Riodel is looking at, as well as the recreational industry. But our focus is on medical in the end.
Well, speaking of the future, when Larry and I visited with Mayor Garns, we did ask her about her view of the future as the town moves in this direction. And of course, they're just getting started, so the long-range view is yet to come into full focus. But here's what she did have to say on that.
We haven't necessarily set out in 5 years we're going to have this done. Right now, we're trying to get all of our ducks in a row so that it's done the right way. And then from there, we will start looking at the revenue that comes in and plan out from there. But we have three businesses right now that are actually doing something, getting themselves ready to open their doors over at the Iowa River Sawmill site. But there's more parcels. And so until these really start to flesh out, we won't know. And so I think it's a more cautious approach. We know kind of what we want the end result to be, but we haven't sat down and, put a firm, this is it. And actually, one of our council members, Councilmember Frank Wilson, said at the last meeting, that he would like to see us point revenue at things. Mm-hmm. So that when it's all said and done, we can go to the public and say, we said we were going to do this, this is what we've done.
Nick, I get the sense from talking with you, and we've spoken before on this, but I get the sense talking with you right now that the future is not completely fuzzy to you at all on this, is it? Is that right or wrong?
No.
I mean, nobody can predict the future, but you sound pretty convinced that this is going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been wrong before, but I can tell you that it is pretty clear to me that the medical industry is going to be the one that booms because of the international trade and the national scale.
So you're not concerned about federal legalization for a place this small. You think that we could still be a player.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Really?
We have the name.
It's not just going to be gigantic corporations in New York and Los Angeles.
No. There's not gigantic corporations in Champaign, France.
Right. True.
The county has done a very good job of supporting mom and pop cultivators. Mm-hmm. There are big businesses coming in, and we're going to need them.
Yeah.
We're going to need to supply a broad market, and there's no way. It's all about our brand. It's all about what 10 years ago, as a businessman, I would be in Washington, D.C., and people would say, "Where are you from?" I'd say Humboldt County, and it would just be, "Oh, you're not serious." Now, the last 5 years, it's been, "Oh, yeah."
Right.
What opportunities are there out there? But again, that's 0.1% of the market is going to be for this connoisseur brand. But when 0.1% of
the
global
whole world
market
is
something that we'll never be able to supply. So we'll be in good shape into the future here.
You just need a slice of the pie. You don't need the whole pie.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And we can take a small one.
Absolutely.
Oh.
So, given all this, what would your advice be to Rio Del moving forward in this?
Remain judicious. Remain cautious. Don't put your neck out there too far, but be competitive. Mm-hmm. Do a little better than what the county does. Process the permits a little faster. Do a little better. Help facilitate with the state. Educate your businesses about the opportunities that are out there. And then, as I said, diversify the economy. Make sure that we're using some of that tax base. And I think that was what Mayor Garns was speaking more towards, mm-hmm. was what are we going to use our tax base, the income
right.
generated from this? Where are we going to put that? And every year we go through a process that says this is what our focus needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our roads are bad, and we need to focus on that. And as she said, past Mayor Wilson was proposing that we focus this tax revenue into specific projects in general.
Yeah.
But we did this with that. We're tracking it so that we get more buy-in from the community, and we can see what the profits are to the community in general. On the philosophical scale, it's about being able to get over this hump, getting this infrastructure in place, which is happening in Rio Del, and making sure our businesses, including the cannabis businesses, are happy and healthy.
So. Any advice for Fortuna?
Yeah, just keep going the way you're going. There's going to be plenty of room for everybody, and eventually, again, with the tact of focusing in on the medical benefits of the product, and when the banking industry, as Mayor Long says, starts wrapping their arms around the cash industry,
which it might,
and when we have more regulatory control at the mm-hmm. local level, it's going to be a benefit to everybody, whether or not they actually allow cultivation or whatever it may be, dispensaries or deliveries in town. Fortuna is going to benefit from this in the growth of the market. And hey, I have a huge amount of respect for the way Fortuna has conducted their business over the last 56 years.
Again, it's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, they do well.
This is a great case study, I think.
Yeah.
You know, watching these two towns that are cousins, I mean, it is the same neighborhood. It goes back decades.
Yeah.
And watching how this unfolds is a graduate seminar in public administration.
Absolutely.
It's a case study.
Yep.
We'll see how it goes.
We will.
And you and others, I assume, from Rio Del are out selling the idea to folks to come to Rio Del. Is that right?
Oh, you bet I am.
Yeah.
I'm also the president of the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
Yeah, it's every opportunity I get, particularly with my business itself, my mm-hmm. consulting business, I'll go out in every project I'm on. I'll tell people about Rio Del locally.
Mm-hmm.
But I have connections all throughout the globe, and they all know about it, and I have a business partner in a wholly ancillary business who was actually establishing his own business in Riedel. I had no idea he was doing it.
Well, we want to thank our guests, Riedel Mayor Deborah Garns, Fortuna Mayor Sue Long, and here in the studio, Nick Angeloff of Archaeological Research and Supply. Larry, some final thoughts. Did you learn anything this hour?
I absolutely did. And as usual, I learned a lot of things as we were putting this episode together. I think two things really I took away most prominently. One was in my conversation with Mayor Long, I gained an appreciation for, from the perspective of a city council member, from a mayor, that this is not, it's not as easy or as cut and dried as I thought it was before speaking with them. I think there are a lot of nuances and a lot of difficulties that that they face, you know, implementing these policies and representing the viewpoints of the community. So I took a little bit more appreciation for just how difficult that job is out of that. And the second thing, with hopefully without sounding too much like a kiss-up, I really gained a whole lot of respect for Mayor Garns to take this idea from the very beginning, where there had to have been a lot of opposition, and to just sort of steadfastly keep plowing away at it until crafting a compromise with people who probably initially were not in any mood to compromise. And that's a, you know, we all know that's a really difficult thing to do. So I was tremendously impressed with her.
It seems she's done a good job of leading on this, for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. This edition of the Humboldt Chronicles will be posted soon at 941lounge.com, lostcoastoutpost.com, and at iTunes for listening and downloading. We want to say thanks again to those who make this program possible: the Humboldt Patient Resource Center, Eco Groovy Deals, the Humboldt County Collective, and Sonoma LabWorks. We'll be back with the Humboldt Chronicles at 6 p.m. on the third Wednesday of each month. So we'll see you next time, May the 15th. At 6 p.m.